Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 204, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Friday, October 1st, 2021. Friday. So you know what that means. It's yep. National Black Dog Day.
Yep.
Get ready for your aunt to text you about that if you have a black dog. My name.
It's to help, they say, because black and darker shade dogs don't get adopted at the same rate.
So true?
It's like to bring awareness. Yeah, to Come be on. Like, hey, man, shout out to my black dog. You know, Rimby.
Yeah, Rimby. Not in the
building, but around.
Beautiful dog.
Thank you.
Was that, was Rimby a adoptee?
Oh, yeah. Straight up out of a supermarket parking lot.
Rimby's like a beautiful dog. I'm assuming that was one you had to snap up real quick.
Yeah. I mean, the woman was returning her cart and wasn't looking at him. So I just snatched him up, just hopped in the car, took off with him.
Boom.
It's my dog now. No, it was just like a pet adoption. And I don't know. He's a beautiful mutt. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
You
know, yeah.
We got that going for each other.
Anyway, shout out to all the black dogs out there. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I did cast 500 pods, and Woo! I did cast 500 more just yes. to be the man who talks the news with Miles 1,000 times or more. That is courtesy of Rob Cunningham. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, Daily Zeit. That is courtesy of Rob Cunningham, who informed us with this AKA that this is our 1,000th episode, I believe.
Oh, that's, my God. Is that that's a millennium.
That's a step into millennium. That's Woo! One large, as you know, I like to say in gambling circles. I got 5 large on them assholes. But yeah, shout out to us for doing 1,000 uh-huh. podcasts. Shout out to Rob for bringing the appropriate amount of enthusiasm for this milestone by just retweeting the one he already did for our 900th episode, which is exactly right, because when I told Miles it was our 1,000th episode about 2 minutes before starting recording, What was your answer, Miles?
I said, for what?
It is? Real?
The fuck?
Wow.
Wow. Time flies when you're having fun.
It does. Well, I am thrilled to be joined
10, let the countdown begin.
By my co-host.
8, take the head of the snake. 7, behold, I'm again. When he says step, I can't. I have to do that whole Method Man part. When he said step into millennium.
You do.
Yeah, sorry.
Hey, well, I'm thrilled to be joined by you, my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It is an emergency. This is not fine. Please, someone sing him sounds that soothe his mind. Got just the dude for this. I think he's known. Oh, no, no, known as the Music Man. Music Man putting out the fuse in Donald's dome. And shout out to Christy Yamaguchi May for that Elton John inspired AKA. Yes, the Music Man who we found out from the Stephanie Grisham leaks, the person who plays Donald Trump's show tunes to avert a tantrum.
That's so wild.
Thank you. Very astute observation.
Just stroking his forehead, playing show tunes to calm him down. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat. For this momentous 1,000th episode by a hilarious comedian and filmmaker whose debut comedy album, Airports, Animals, period, just so you have the
punctuation
right, was named one of the best stand-up albums of 2021 by Pace Magazine. They called it a thought-provoking, hilarious triumph. The Comedy Bureau called it a damn good debut comedy album. Very good. Mm-hmm. Aggro from the Comedy Bureau, but I've listened to it. They are right. It will make you extremely happy. Yeah. Please welcome the brilliant and talented Sean Devlin.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on your 1,000th episode, and you probably should have booked a more famous guest.
This is it. I mean, you got an album. I don't. We're reaching the heights here, baby.
Yeah, one of the best stand-up albums of the year.
Acclaimed album.
Yeah. It's very good. And also, your energy level is appropriate to this being our 1,000th episode, which acknowledge. Yeah. So we're thrilled to have you.
Yeah, millennial energy.
Exactly.
Where are you coming to us from?
Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Miles' favorite place.
My favorite place on earth.
He'll talk a lot about the time he went to Italy, but the real heads know that Vancouver is Miles' favorite place.
They know I got a collection of Vancouver Christmas market mugs in my pantry. You know, I collect them. I'm coming through for the Christmas market downtown.
Wait, so you came in the winter?
Yeah, because look, I'm of the valley, the San Fernando Valley, just local scum. And it's just so hot all the time that I have I fantasize about wearing jackets because I've always been barefoot on blacktop and shorts and shit my whole life. So bundling up is it's fucking cosplay for me. And going to Vancouver at that time of year is it's not so cold that I can't handle it, but just enough where I'm respecting it.
That makes sense. Yeah. A lot of rain though.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. The last couple times I went, I would my trip will coincide with the first snowfall of the winter. So in a way, I was look at us, Vancouver. We're made for each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Rain and snow, another thing the San Fernando Valley doesn't get a lot of. Mostly dust.
Yeah. Fire ash.
Yeah. Fire ash and dust.
Sean, you've been a filmmaker most of the time, and then this is your debut album. What was the road to having your debut album come out now?
Yeah, I guess it had a bit to do with the pandemic. Things were slower with film, and it felt like I was ready to put an album out, and a record label offered me money to do it. That's the real answer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Well, there you go.
I was going to try to come up with something artistic, but...
Right.
Yeah, it's really fucking good, man. It's so fucking funny.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. Instacart workers are striking.
Yeah.
School boards are begging Joe Biden to protect them. We will talk about the scourge that is facing all parents this Halloween, according to cops, which is that people who have weed gummies are just dying to give them away to children they don't know and just make children way more annoying. We are going to talk about Dog the Bounty Hunter. I think we're going to, I believe in today's show. I believe we're going to get to it. All of that, plenty more. But first, Sean, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
I Googled this morning, can a weed plant get rained on too much?
Yeah.
Because, we had a lot of rain here last night. And it's my wife and I's first time growing weed outdoors. And we got spooked.
Yeah. Just gotta, you know, if you're growing them outdoors, they're meant for, you know, typically plants grow out. So I think it's just like the mold, right? That you got to watch out for.
Yeah, mold. I Googled it and I love the, like, weed growing advice is, there's a fine line. Sometimes you're like, yeah, this is science. And sometimes it's just stoner advice. And sometimes it's both.
right.
So the first tip was like, just shake all the water off.
get it off. Yeah, just punch it off.
So yeah, we shook it off a bit. And then it said to give it potassium, which I guess means like you feed it, my weed plant a banana or something. I don't know how to give it potassium.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how to feed plants at all.
Yeah, I don't know how to feed it any food.
Yeah, or I feel like a lot of like weed growing things will also just be like weird, hostile, like sarcasm too. Where it's like, oh, I don't know, like, it's a plant, right? So, you know, God forbid water got on a thing that grows outside, you're going to be fine, bro.
Wait, really?
Whoa, easy. Yeah, weed boards are very interesting. Yeah, weed boards are an interesting place for information.
It's just like, you're an idiot for asking questions about growing weed?
But then like, wrapping it up with, it's all good, bro. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Damn. How do you dry a plant? Like, do you dry a plant by just waiting for the sun to come out? Or is it like we just like putting a little towel on it and wagging it back and forth? What are we doing?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do because we're not going to have sun here for several days. So we were thinking about maybe just cutting the plant early, you know, cutting our losses and bringing it in to dry it inside. But I don't know. It's tense times over here.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're here with you. So if we can help, you know, let us know. Zeit Gang, also, if you have any tips for Sean, obviously chime in. Because we know we have a diverse skill set within the listening community.
And BC is like naturally a place that weed is very comfortable, correct? Like that's even before everything was legal and like you could have massive growing operations. Like that was the place that people grew a lot of weed, right?
Yeah. Even before it was legal, my recollection is that it was a $7 billion shadow industry pre-legalization just in BC.
Wow. Yeah. Cause I remember like even when the first like medical dispensaries were opening up here in like the late 90s and early 2000s, like BC buds would come down and I'd be like, yo, they got some BC buds in. And that, you know, that was stature in the community for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So the best stories that you can find about like people being innovative is like how people get drugs across the border. And I feel like there were some good ones about people like floating it across in balloons from British Columbia and maybe a catapult here and there. I think the catapult was the US Mexico border.
But I remember the catapult. My favorite one at the BC US border was these folks built a tunnel.
Mm.
And so they dug out a whole tunnel. They put in like little trolley tracks and everything, and they put fluorescent lighting in. But then the feds knew about it, I guess, from the beginning and just watched them do it. And then the first guy that rolled that first cart down with like fluorescent lighting, like a grocery store and everything, they were just waiting for him on the other end. And they busted them.
Oh, man. Fucking.
No need anymore.
Worst. Do you think like the people that busted him, they're like, they're trying to figure out like the best bit to shock the guy with? Like, when they come, like, dude, he's not. What do we do?
Let's dress as clowns.
Yeah. We throw a surprise party. We do like surprise. Yeah. And then you're like, you're under arrest for trafficking.
They hired the team from Impractical Jokers. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, agent, yeah, put your earwig in so we can feed you some lines from the control room. Okay.
Yeah. The trolley, the indoor trolley. Few people know that that was what Mr. Rogers was doing, is smuggling weed on his little indoor trolley system.
What was that little town called?
Imagination Land or something?
Yeah, yeah, whatever. He was trafficking.
King Friday's Realm. Oh, yeah, man. You see that shit? You see those people? They were
right.
Fucking baked, man. What is something that you think is overrated, Sean?
The banjolele, which is a banjo and a ukulele. It's a musical instrument that should not exist. And my downstairs neighbor is dating a white man with an asymmetrical haircut who's been teaching himself how to play banjolele in my yard for 5 months.
Oh, God. What?
I'm painting a very specific picture of my home life here.
Yeah.
Weed plant problems and this dang banjolele.
And he's not getting better. It's like, yeah. I want to say, give up. You're not progressing at a rate that would make you feel good about this.
Yeah, that's the key part. He's learning. Not like the instrument sounds terrible regardless. Even if I think you had mastered it, I would still hate it. But that's, he's been teaching himself it instrument. By playing and singing like Weezer covers.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm baffled by his confidence because I have so much anxiety. Like, I feel like I can't buy milk without thinking that I've somehow offended the grocery clerk. And
right.
For him to just come into my yard and think that, you know, he could do this and no one would have issue with this terrible banjolele music.
Yeah.
I don't understand his confidence. In fact, I want to learn from it or something.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, I think a lot of people, there's always like that tweet. It's like, I wish I had the confidence of blah, blah, blah. It's like, we should all aspire to have the confidence of a white man with an asymmetrical haircut learning banjolele at the
banjolele.
Piece of his
outdoors.
Outdoors. Yeah, outdoors.
I used to be, like when I was a kid, I played trumpet for most of my life. And when I would practice, I was like, I don't want to sound bad. I would like go to like the most remote place of like my house to try and like practice in silence. I would even use a mute sometimes. So for someone to just be like, yeah, it's doing it in my driveway, just blasting this shit. I'm like, wow, there is something to be learned there though.
Yeah. Confidence. Wow.
There you
that
go.
Sound though. Like, it feels like, what are you going to do? Like a tropical, you know, ukulele obviously evokes Hawaii, the Pacific Islands, you know, things like that. But then the banjo is very much feels like Southern American. And then together, like, what the fuck is that? Does it sound any, like when you hear it, you're like, oh, that's an interesting sound, or it just sounds like any other stringed instrument?
It sounds racist. Does that make sense?
It's more banjo than ukulele.
Yeah.
Right.
And I feel like the banjo has definitely appropriated the ukulele. Like, it's more banjo than ukulele. It's just, I think the banjo just wanted the lele for the cred or something, the cultural cred.
Yeah, right. Or the, you know, place to for other people to vacation and also, yeah,
right.
Kidnapped the ukulele's queen in order to annex the banjo structure.
Yeah, and then intermarried, forced intermarriage. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have the racism covered from both the like cultural appropriation angle and the just straight up deliverance style, like uncut proud racism of the banjo.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would love to hear a sick banjolele solo, but right. In my mind, like, I don't. And also, when I hear Weezer, I'm like, what song is it? Like, Say It Ain't So or something?
Yeah, there's pretty, yeah, several.
Or My Name Is Jonas on banjolele? That's a lot of picking.
I'm picturing your downstairs neighbor as the apartment from Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind for some reason. Like, that's, I can't not. Can't
like where Jim Carrey lives?
Yeah. Yeah. Like that.
The vibes vibe. In there.
Yeah, the vibes. Yeah. What is something you think is underrated, Sean?
Boiled eggs, guys.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Boiled.
I had two for breakfast. You don't need to fry them. You don't need to devil them. You just need some hot water. And maybe a bit of salt, some chili sauce or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got nothing else. Just boiled eggs.
How are you applying it? Just on the smooth outside? The chili sauce, I mean.
You take a bite, you fill the hole. What do you do?
I'll slice it right down the middle. Ooh, I'll dissect it.
Okay.
Wow.
And then I'll put some chili in there. Maybe a thin slice of onion.
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
And then
that's
you got
a little
some
bit
kick.
Of effort going into that. I like that.
Yeah.
And there, you never go soft boiled?
Yeah, only if I'm in a rush. So it's more out of necessity.
Okay. Yeah. I like a lot of soft boiled eggs. And I'm kind of on a similar diet as you. I usually eat like two boiled eggs, two soft boiled eggs in the morning.
Okay.
With a little bit of Kewpie mayonnaise, Japanese mayonnaise, and a little bit of a teardrop of soy sauce.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's how I get down.
Okay. I'm going to try this tomorrow.
Yeah.
How are you guys transport? Do you transport in shell or do you transport like you crack it and then put
it? Here's the thing. I think we're people. I feel like I agree that the boiled egg is stinky. So I don't want to force that on other people necessarily. So I just try to eat it almost like a vitamin. Like I like that I can boil it and I can eat it so quickly and that's my breakfast.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I do. I take a small bite off the top and create a chasm. And then I get my little mayonnaise and soy sauce in there. Then I eat the rest of the fucking egg in one bite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, mayonnaise it's easier and that soy way. Sauce it really together is so good. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we will be right back to talk about some news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. Strikes are in the air. We got an Instacart worker strike starting on October 16th. They're specifically the shoppers who go on strike because, yeah, it's bullshit. They've been treated just horribly. They have added billions and billions of dollars of valuation to the company's bottom line. And the company has rewarded them by treating them like shit.
Yeah, it's the old gig worker recipe, which is make them independent contractors so you owe them nothing.
Right.
And in this situation, you know, the conditions have been pretty, conditions are awful across the board for people that are doing gig work because of the fact that no one is treated as an employee. It's all this independent contractor nonsense. And you know, there is for Instacart shoppers, they're dealing with low tips, like where they started to bring down like the minimum that like would first sort of default to in the app, as well as like a rating system that's super fucked up and severe, where like if you dropped off an order and someone gave you a 1-star review, mostly because for things like out of their control, like supply chains are fucked up. So yeah, maybe the thing the customer asked for wasn't in their order and they hit a 1-star review, like sort of in a retaliatory way. That would prevent shoppers from like losing out on more lucrative trips, less work in general. So they have just some simple demands to try and make this just resemble some kind of humane work. They have 5 demands, which are they just want base pay for each order instead of the system they have now, which pays workers as low as $7 for like they'll batch up to 3 orders at once. And then you're making $7. That's nonsense. They want to return to a commission-based pay model where previously they would pay shoppers 40 cents per item shopped. They also want the 10% default tip to be reinstated. Right now it's at 5%. They also, sadly, are asking for occupational death benefits for workers who die on the job, because that is something that has happened, as well as, you know, to alter the rating system that doesn't punish them for things like the supply chain being fucked up because of a fucking pandemic and customers taking it out on the rating system. And yeah, there was just like, there have been more attacks on gig workers during the pandemic. And then there was, sadly, an Instacart shopper was murdered in March in Colorado while a fucking working for Instacart. And that's why they're like, this isn't just like, I think a lot of people, especially the way people tip or the way workers describe it, they just think people are just fucking around getting their groceries and dropping it off. They're like, well, they don't need a tip. Like, that's an easy job. But honestly, sadly, they rely very heavily on tips because Instacart doesn't do the minimum.
So for listeners, they should go to their phone right now and delete Instacart as an app. Is that basically the way that we can kind of stand in solidarity with,
or just don't use it? I mean, I think customers are just boycotting as well in solidarity beginning the 16th when they strike. Because, you know, like you're saying, Instacart's value, I think, nearly doubled in the pandemic to $39 billion is what they're worth. And as you know, as the pandemic like went on and we prematurely began to reopen things, the demand for grocery delivery has also shrunk. So they're like, I think, in a position where they're trying to cut corners too, to kind of keep their revenues looking pretty. But it's just another predictable tale of gig worker apps treating people like independent contractors to the point where the only choice is to like have to take collective action like this.
Any job that comes with the caveat, if you're working and you die, we don't owe you anything. That's a job that needs a union. That's like,
right. Yeah,
that's very, very clear. That part is really shocking. Like, I would rather go to a job interview and ask them like, hey, what happens if I die? And I would rather hear that they're unprepared for that. Like, I'd rather they be like, oh, I don't know, we've never considered that. As opposed to them being like, yeah, that happens a lot.
And, right. We have funny, a meeting that and just we have a, came up.
Yeah. Huh.
Fuck,
we have
man.
A policy and it doesn't include you. So that's insane. At a bare minimum, that seems like that should be illegal.
Yeah, well, I think, and this is why companies like this, they're constantly lobbying legislators to, you know, write guidelines that are favorable to this kind of oppressive work. And, you know, that right now there was even talks of like Instacart and DoorDash and Uber to potentially merge into one just three-headed hydra of terrible, terrible subsistence wage work.
Yeah. I feel like they're too much like little mom and pop companies. That we need them to be more like just giant automatons that churn right. through human lives. Yeah. And by the way, the $39 billion valuation is, it should be clear, like based on the fact that they're able to, at least like to a large degree, that they're able to treat employees like shit. Like that is the unfortunate truth of the right. current version of, you know, late capitalism is like, well, if you can, you know, lower the amount that the overhead on these dang employees, like your Ubers, you can really crush it out there.
Right. Well, because like, yeah, you'd think like the benevolent version of an app like this is like, yeah, man, like you keep like we just need a small fee for us to connect you with someone for you to do the job. And then like whatever that costs, like you take all that. We merely just set this up like for the infrastructure for people to make money by offering people rides or doing shopping for them. When now it's like, yeah, dude, you're not getting a fucking, you're not even getting close to what you're owed on the actual labor that you're putting into this thing.
Yeah.
So it's, don't see that formula changing anytime soon.
The rating system too, I'm glad they're keying on that because that's brutal. And it also, you know, makes us as consumers see our complicity in it too, because yeah. it's like, I think the problem with those rating systems is that it's letting everyone be a boss. And like, because right. of the hierarchy of capitalism, we're all, you know, we've all been pissed off at our bosses, but it's letting everyone be like, you know, I recently hired a new employee to bring me a sandwich in the next 20 minutes, and I'm going to treat that person like shit.
I'm right. going to scream at them for, you know, having, they were late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because there, it's a vast web of people mistreating each other, like if this is the one chance you get to have an employee who works for you and you've just been shit on by your boss like for 5 years, like, you know, I feel like some people will use that as an opportunity to treat those people like shit.
And I don't think it's like a coincidence. To me, it's designed, right? It's like there's so much hostility and frustration building up with some of these systems of power. And I think things like this facilitate that hostility being directed in the wrong direction, you know, like let's have people send it at each other instead of in the upward. Direction it should be going. Yeah, upward. And like, I'm not a historian. This is just based on me watching the Ridley Scott film, The Gladiator. Mm-hmm. But I think that the whole thumbs up, thumbs down thing came from Joaquin Phoenix, like the Caesar right. guy, that Roman emperor.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, that's where he's like, should this gladiator be murdered publicly or not? Yes or no? Thumbs up, thumbs down. And I think it was clear to everyone who saw that Oscar, you know, worthy film that that's a sort of kind of unaccountable form of power that should be checked, not kind of scaled up through innovative app technology and like yeah. distributed to everybody.
Right.
That's the effect. So I had a theory because Gladiator was a 2000 film and we did a live show about the year 2000. And I had a theory worked out about Gladiator and why it like hit so hard with the 2000 with the audience in the year 2000 that I didn't have time to get to, but just like this idea, I feel like the audience was caught, like identified with Joaquin Phoenix. Like they didn't want to, but that's who they realized they were. And then like Gladiator was the, you know, the people who are off like fighting wars that like they don't want to be a part of. But like there's never been like a more cowardly character like in right. movies. And like when you look at the structure of that movie, it really feels like it's like offering that character up as like someone we can project our anxieties of being, you know, like America is way more nepotistic than it wants to admit. Americans like will be at war without realizing it, you know, that all that sort of shit. And then like you're able to be like, no, fuck that guy, he's bad. But yeah, the allowing us like an app that allows us all to be individual little Commoduses is is gonna be a $1 billion industry, because we're all like, fuck yeah, thumbs down, right, off with the head. My eggs were late or whatever. Right.
Oh, these aren't the eggs that have the blue and brown shells mixed together.
Yeah. Also, you know, it is I said strikes are in the air because Hollywood is facing its largest strike since World War II.
Yep.
It's looking like the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, IATSE, who represent, you know, they build the sets, they do all the behind the scenes work. They are going to probably strike in the next couple of days. And, you know, if you like, I don't know what Hollywood's going to do. Like, is the next season of Stranger Things just going to be like a Lars von Trier movie and like a black box type thing? Like, because that's basically what you're dealing with. Everybody's just wearing burlap sacks and in a black void, because these are the people who build the fucking sets and make everything, like, make you able to suspend your disbelief.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and it's the theme is the same anywhere, right? Which is just like with IATSE, they're saying like, we're not trying to blow the fucking industry up, but when we keep banging our heads against the wall saying we would like, you know, a living wage for certain positions, like at the lowest rung of our union, that is a living wage, or, you know, like, because new media and streaming stuff has also like created like all new kind of business quagmires for like contracts and things like that. There's just a lot of stuff too, where they're like, what about like rest periods? Because if I'm doing consecutive, like, you know, 18-hour days, I there has to be a point where we can have a break, not just because they have to make a schedule for production, like in time to not go over budget. And yeah, I honestly hope that the Hollywood actually takes a second, ever like a moment to reckon with itself, because these are truly the fucking people who make everything fucking possible. It's not just it's not the people who we see on the fucking screen. To get to that point is so that effort and labor of countless fucking people. And hopefully I think it just makes people more aware of like what it takes to make these things, because they don't just like pop up and it's a great time. Like, there are really hard jobs in production that go unnoticed and are not being compensated fairly.
Yeah.
I think the living wage is a great point, because I think between this and the Instacart workers, it's probably a similar thing of the designation of being told you're an essential worker rubbing up against the realization that you're not being paid a living wage. Like, mm-hmm. How can I be essential to everyone,
right,
and not be getting paid a wage that lets me live?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I saw that during the pandemic, because a lot of up here in BC, right, we have a pretty big film industry, and a lot of COVID stuff got brought up here because you couldn't shoot down in LA. It was getting brought up to Canada. And so there was a period where like teachers literally weren't at school teaching and, you know, shaping the minds of the future generation. But like, I have friends who are still working on like sugar-free gum commercials. Like,
right.
Do you know what I mean? And so they're being told like, oh, no, you're essential. We need this sugar-free gum commercial.
Right.
And if that's true, sure, tell me that's essential, but like, treat me right.
Yeah.
Right.
Anything new in like our version of, you know, market capitalism, like, so new media, these delivery apps that are like, you know, building an industry from scratch, kind of like, those will all always by default just abuse the shit out of people until like somebody does this and like fights for the rights of people. That's just like how it seems like it has always worked in America. And it would be awesome if we could break out of that cycle where it's like, you know,
well, because I mean, it's the same thing, right? You look at like how Instacart value goes up and workers are still being like, oh, dude, we still have so many fucking problems and you guys are spending more money. It's the same thing with all these new shows that are coming out. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Prestige TV is like, it's fucking on the same level as film. and granted, IATSE is working on film and television, but like they're just seeing like these budgets are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, but you're able to kind of keep costs low by keeping the crew at this very like lower level without an ability to renegotiate things while we're watching things like how much money is being spent on this right. fucking production?
They're trying to treat like a Netflix series like it's a fucking Funny or Die right. short, that, yeah, you right. know, like it's just, yeah, it's bullshit. But they that seems to be the default shape that all, you know, industries take when they're when they first take form in America. And then like then you have to like break through the media like cone of silence and be like, no, this is really bad for a lot of people, because otherwise it'll just be like Instacart's valuation is fucking skyrocketing, like that'll be the headline instead of,
yeah,
you know, what's actually well, happening to people.
I mean, people are naturally withholding their labor because no matter what, many people are realizing it shouldn't, working multiple jobs shouldn't be the norm. Like
right.
if we're mm-hmm. in a system where we have to put our labor forward to survive, then one job should be enough.
Yeah.
And the fact that it isn't is, I think, you know, it's just creating a very organic version of people kind of advocating for themselves, and it's popping up more and more, and long may that last. I hope that leads to a point where more people can really fully be on the same page to understand like, oh yeah, like whether it's Instacart or IATSE or Uber or fucking writing for an online publication or whatever, like there are minimums that we deserve as human beings, especially when we're in a system where our labor is being converted into massive wealth for people who aren't putting even a close to the shred of work that the workers do.
Yeah. 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 It would be cool if somehow out of this there became some stronger solidarity or even like alliances between all these essential workers, because yeah. they've fallen across so many different sectors and industries. And yeah, it's been such a difficult period. But these were all the folks who were told, no, you have to keep working. So mm-hmm. if when push comes to shove, I mean, worse than that, plague comes to death, that that these folks have to keep working, they should be able to like collectively organize.
Right.
All right, let's talk briefly about another group of fat cats who have had it too good for too long. And I'm talking, of course, about the people who volunteer to be on school boards. Come on. Like, they, you know, they dedicate their time to help educate our children, and now they're going to complain that they've been subjected to being, you know, abused and treated like absolute shit by right-wing political activists. Come on. I've had enough.
Well, where's the line?
What's next?
You know, we've seen the scenes at these board meetings. They look, you can't even, like, if you had it on mute there, you're like, oh my God, like, was there a network of sexual predators, like, just like running amok in this like school system? But no, they're like, they're teaching our kids critical race theory, which again is for graduate students and law students. It's so complex, you couldn't even begin to fucking teach a child critical race theory, even with like the most rudimentary graphs and pictures. But again, we've seen this, whether it was critical race theory or masks, you know, there were medical professionals who've had their tires slashed for merely like restating the obvious facts at a school board meeting around masks or vaccines. Teachers have been subjected to coordinated harassment campaigns for believing in teaching history. And we're also, and we talked about earlier, extremists are trying to infiltrate the school boards themselves to try and alter the curriculum, like to whatever they see fit. So things are chaotic. And this group that the National School Boards Association, who like represent like thousands of school board members, they're like asking the president to like, we need protection here. Like this is they're actually effectively intimidating people into not doing what's right for children purely because of intimidation. And they really are asking that things that are including, quote, the classification of these heinous actions could be the equivalent to a form of domestic terrorism and hate crimes. Yeah. And they're saying we need help all across the board, whether that's having the FBI, Secret Service, and like National Threat Assessment Center, like give them resources to understand like how to like do proper threat assessment or examine what they say, quote, examine appropriate enforceable actions against these crimes and acts of violence. It just seems like there's so many avenues for these people to harass them that they're just like, this we're not equipped for this. Like, we need someone to intervene.
I think the most absurd part of it is that a lot of the people who are harassing these teachers from the right seem to be the same people that proposed as a solution to mass shootings at schools that these teachers be given guns.
Yeah, right.
And so, like, just for their own safety, I mean the safety of these idiotic monsters, they should probably choose one of those things. Like, either I'm going to keep harassing and antagonizing these teachers, or I want to arm them. But for your own safety, maybe not both.
Right. Yeah.
I like that. If they were just like, okay, we are going to go with your suggestion to arm the teachers, but only at PTA meetings.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, only
come
at
with
PTA.
That energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Temporary gun license. Yeah.
Right. Or they're just like, yeah, well, we can do like, trial by combat, but like, we'll just get like the mountain to represent the school boards. And yeah, throw whoever you want at them. Parents. How about you, Rick? With the flannel shirt tucked into your jeans. You want to fight the mountain over critical race theory? No? Okay. Next up, masks. Anybody else? No? Good? Don't want to get your eye gripped out by the mountain? But I think, you know, this is just kind of that thing where it's hard to know, like, how can you solve this problem? Because it just feels like this is just part of, like, the continuing convulsions of this, like, amorphous culture war that is existing. That if it's not critical race theory, it's going to be masks. And if it's not that, it's going to be trans kids. And if it's not that, it's going to be this other thing. That they're always going to find a way to keep doing this. So I think maybe that's why they're asking like some kind of law enforcement part of this, because maybe jail might dissuade some of these parents that are just like so hopped up on their privilege that maybe it's not, you know, maybe it's not a thing that you can just slash someone's tires.
I mean, I think it's a bit of a snake eating its own tail thing, because I think that the solution is how you educate kids. Like, if you want adults that aren't idiotic and violent and hostile in these ignorant ways, it's going to start in school. And yeah, that's, I guess, part of why this battle is so important. But it also, I guess, would require patience for some of those results to be seen. Like, maybe we can hope that in 30 years, if things go well, there won't be teachers trying to, or parents trying to fight teachers.
Right. Yeah. I think that's why I think conservatives see just as they see the same path there, right? It's like it's through the schools. It's like Steve Bannon said, it's through the school boards. And they know that just there's been this like baseline of what American education is. And they realize it's churning out more people who would probably not vote for Republicans. And they're just like, fuck, okay. Then like, we need to start deprogramming people as swiftly as possible to try and get them on board with our more autocratic, you know, fascist way of looking at governance.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. All right, so Halloween is coming up, one of our favorite seasons here on Daily Zeitgeist, besides National Black Dog Day. You know, it's up there with National Black Dog Day, Halloween for us. But, you know, every time Halloween comes around, there's usually going to be a dumb police warning about something.
Every fucking year.
This year, it's pot-laced Halloween candy that these, you know, these dang potheads are going to be handing out tricky THC-laced Halloween candy to your kids and then just like, I don't know. Well, I don't know what they think the purpose of that is, but this is so the way this story is being manufactured is they raid somebody's house and find candy laced with THC because people love that shit because it's a lot of fun. They look at the similarities between the candy and the like Halloween candy. And they're like, ah, they must be trying to. They don't actually believe this. This is just like this is how they get people to be scared on the local news. They're like, this is a great way to whip up a quick moral panic about the dangers of weed. And it's the reason they made these candies in the size and shape and flavor of actual candies is not just because it tastes good and is fun. But it is because they want to sneak one past children and poison them for some reason.
That's all, you know, stoners. All they do is watch YouTube videos of kids who are accidentally high and laugh their asses off because they're so sadistic. And they're also so rich that they can afford to give a fucking $30 candy bar just at a time, just tossing them out to the local kids, local youth, of course.
I'm in my late 30s, and in my day, you know, people freaked out about there being razor blades in the Halloween candy.
Right.
And so, I'm sorry, but this seems like genuine progress to me. It's like, oh, trying to get me high? Like, that's better than trying to slit my throat internally.
Right. Yeah. To slice up my esophagus with an errant razor blade.
There are, and this is a quote from a Washington Post article, there are no documented cases of kids being poisoned by marijuana-laced Halloween candy. Zero. And the one case where they have like a parent claiming that they ate some of their kids' Halloween candy, and it was laced, was two people who went to the emergency room and were like, we ate some candy with meth on it, and we, like, we don't want to explain to you where we got it, so we're just going to say that it was in our kids' Halloween candy haul.
Right.
Basically seems to be the story there.
That sounds like an incident where people just ate meth and then made up a lie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, right. Of course. Yeah. Some meth probably got in that candy I ate. Yeah. You're like, were you just eating loose meth just because you didn't have a stem and you're just trying to beam up real quick? I don't know. I'm not here to judge, but sir, this is bad. I love the fact that you're like, there's no documented case of this ever fucking happening, which in a way makes QAnon more realistic than this shit somehow.
At least QAnon, you know, like, has Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, like, at least, like, I'm like, yeah, well, you know, like, they're trying to tie these loose threads together. Like, there's not even a fucking thread out there to even clasp onto for this stupid fucking story that they love to rinse and reuse every year.
That's a great comparison, though, because it sounds like it's, you know, news editors trying to, you know, capitalize on the conspiracy theory side of the algorithm by creating, you know, some new hot of the moment conspiracy theory. Or they're just looking for an excuse to be able to pick through their kids' candy first and eat all the best stuff.
Yeah. Right. Despite this being like an annual news story that I grew up, you know, in the 80s and 90s thinking was like one of the main dangers to my livelihood eating poisoned Halloween candy. There have been, since 1958, 200 cases of tampered Halloween treats in the U.S. and Canada, which there's about 41.1 million trick-or-treaters in just the U.S. every year. So that's 200 total.
Since 1958, right?
Since 1958.
Right. So since 1958, only 200 recorded incidents.
Yeah.
And then 41 million people a fucking year.
And of those 200 cases, experts couldn't find a single report of a child killed or seriously injured from a contaminated treat received during trick-or-treating. But meanwhile, like, you know, just maybe keep your eyes on the road, like during Halloween, instead of worrying about this shit. Like, there's way more pedestrian accidents and shit because people are out on the street.
Oh, you're saying a car hitting somebody is the actual yeah. threat on Halloween, yeah. not fucking, yeah. you know, wavy candies.
And the only thing, like, I do think it's fair for people, like, to be wary that they, like, not give it out, like, because there is now more weed candy than we've ever had, like, in our houses than before. Right. But, like, I think that's pretty standard, but yeah, just make sure you keep it separate from any other candy, and I'm sure you're going to be fine. Like, whoa, I don't know.
What's the problem, officer? I keep it separate. Come on. Why you don't bum me out, man? Well, you know, I'm sure by next year they'll find a new thing, or maybe it'll just be this all over.
No, it'll be this every year.
Yeah,
probably. We're dead or weed is illegal.
Oof. Well, yeah, but, you know, like, in a way, I'm like, I'm kind of proud of us, U.S. and Canada, that there's only been 200 incidents since 1958. Like, you'd think with, like, how things have especially deteriorated in the United States as it relates to, like these, like, large-scale violent events that, like, at the end of the day, people are like, but Halloween, man, don't fuck with, come on now. Don't,
yeah.
Like, let's, I don't have the energy for that. And that's no one wants that burden.
And even in the language that was used to describe those 200 incidents, you said contaminated and there's no deaths. And so part of me thinks a bunch of that might just be like
sneezed
an expired
on.
Snickers. Yeah.
Right.
You got the runs or something like.
Right.
Right.
That yeah. was contaminated.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure. Yeah. Like, the energy that would go into contaminating a candy and like being the front for like the face that like, you know, people. There's a way to figure out where the candy came from on some level. You know, it's not a totally like anonymous act because people are knocking on your door. And so like, do I remember anyone weird? Yeah, there was that person just laughing just sadistically the whole time and had right. no costume on. And right before they gave us the candy, they said, hold on 1 second. They'd close the door for a couple minutes, then open and be like, now it's ready. That person, we may want to look into that.
It's also such a weird level of distrust of just people, because my understanding of you know, strangers who like to kill other strangers is they like to see it. Like, they like to, you know, get their hands dirty, and that is something that satisfies them. But to put all that work in and then just know that somewhere out there in the distance someone is suffering, that doesn't really seem like, if that's really happening, then we should be just as scared as the candy you buy at the grocery store, because it would be just as easy to go and put a bunch of contaminated candy at the grocery store and have people eat that, if that's what's getting your rocks off.
Come on, don't give these freaks any ideas.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Come on. Yeah, it's, I can't think of a worse or less satisfying prank.
No. And even like as a kid, you're like, you're not trying to fuck with someone's, I don't know, maybe because you grow up like Halloween candy's sanctified. So even in like, as you get older, you're like, no, come on. Like, don't fuck around with that. That's not what, if you're going to do anything, like throw shit at someone's house, like, you know, light a bag of shit on fire, TP, eggs, that stuff. That's a prank, not violating the sacred trust of Halloween candy distribution.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sacred. Yeah.
TP, but the TP has shit on it.
There you go, Jack.
Eggs,
he's back.
But the eggs have been in your ass.
You're like, how do you keep them from cracking, Jack? That's pretty impressive.
Hey, man.
A lot of control, man. A lot of control. A lot of meditating.
Yeah, it's very dumb. There have been, like, I do think there are valid things to, like, with tons of candy around the house, if you have weed gummies around the house, like, that's something that actually happened at a barbecue that we covered on this show, because it's kind of funny to imagine, but like, I think a bunch of 5-year-olds got their hands on their parents' Sour Patch Kids THC gummies and like had to go to the emergency room. So I guess not funny, but just kids are already so weird. So I was just curious what that would look like. But it's all happening by accident. It's not, nobody is doing this on purpose. So, yes, beware. Don't leave your fucking weed gummies out and like next to your kid's fucking Halloween candy. Like,
oh,
that's it.
Yeah, that's
true. Oh, you should see me, like, whenever I have like younger, like a family over, like, I act like the DEA is about to pull up.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, they're going to have to do work to fucking find this shit. Because, yeah, like, you absolutely, like, you have to understand, you know, that you have to respect the power, and that in the wrong hands, it can do a lot of damage.
Not even just kids, like people in their 20s. My wife, when she was younger, showed up at a house party hungry and proceeded to eat a bunch of pastries off a table that weren't labeled. And it was like, so she downed like a whole dinner's worth of edible weed pastries, and then had such a severe panic attack that she had to go home and just sleep in a snowsuit to like sweat it out.
I love that method of like, all right, I gotta put the full body snowsuit on.
Oh man.
Yeah.
And just sweat this thing out. Ugh. Did it work though? Is that a good
technique?
She
said it worked. Like, by the next day she felt like better.
All right.
But I agree with what you're saying. It's like there is a risk, but it's more like at home and be careful. It's not like be scared of people premeditated trying to do this.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the thing that everyone wants to just sort of foster in everyone at the moment. It's like, be afraid of fucking every single person out there, because you don't know who the fuck they are.
Yes.
There's no way they could just be like you, another human being who's trying their best to just survive in the world day to day.
They want to defund the cops. Look at these sick fucks out here with nerve ropes full of drugs to get your kids fucked up, man. I am like, I will say this, I will never act on it. I'm very curious what my kids would be like stoned, because they're already so like prone to like pothead thinking. I'm just, if anybody who was at that barbecue who saw those 5-year-olds high.
CVS, open up. CVS, Child Protective Services, open up.
If anyone was at that barbecue with those kids and saw how they were behaving, I'm just curious, like what that looks like.
Well, I think it's funny because like the first time I smoked weed as a kid, I was like, "This is great. I feel like more like a kid right now."
Right.
Like everything was goofier. So yeah, it's a slippery slope for sure.
Yeah. Not trying to grow up. I'm just trying to be me to the
hell
max.
No. Yeah, exactly. I'm just trying to laugh harder at this shit I'm watching.
They bring them to the ER. They're like, our kids got really cool all of a sudden. We don't know what to do.
Dude, they're like listening to Serge Gainsbourg and stuff. It's like, I don't even know. It's like they're real hip and shit.
Yeah, but my five-year-old asked me how his bones move him once, and I don't know what the fuck that means.
And that you're like, that fucked you up. You're like, oh,
yeah,
shit.
Man. That was definitely a thought I have had while I was high.
Yeah.
And then immediately forgotten. Let's talk really quickly about Dog, the bounty hunter.
He's everywhere. Dwayne Chapman.
So he, you know, as the Gabby Petito case continues to just spin around in the headlines because of missing white woman syndrome, Dog the Bounty Hunter was like, I'm on this shit. He started smelling some money. And so he has decided to enter the search for Gabby Petito's ex-boyfriend who was like with her when she died, and like he disappeared into like a national park. And you know, to his credit, his investigation has already yielded a 911 call from the boyfriend's family when Dog the Bounty Hunter showed up at their house.
911, what's your emergency? Dog the Bounty Hunter like fucking won't leave me alone right now. Oh fuck,
he's going full Dark Knight. Like he's lived long enough to become the villain.
Right yeah. Well,
then he was also doing that. She was doubling down back when he said he could use the N-word. Like, he's like, yo, I got an invite to the cookout permanently. So, you know, I could say the N-word. Because in 2007, that phone call leaked to him dropping the M-bomb multiple times. And not like in a I'm singing Gold Digger, like lyrics out loud type shit. He was like, he was hitting that hard R. And at the time when I remember, I think it was Larry King. He was like, yeah, I'm friends with Snoop. And, you know, he's like, they say like, hey, what's up, my N? And, you know, I feel like because of that, you know, I can say it too. And he came back around to talk about those fucking topics again in 2021. I was like, why are you still talking about this, fool? Like, you're lucky you got canceled before people didn't like knew how to cancel people. Because he's like back in, be like, hey, remember that? I'm here to say again, Eminem, I'm just like Eminem. And you're like, what? I'm like, okay. He's like, I have more black friends than Eminem. Oh, okay. There you go, sir.
Name dropping Snoop doesn't count because, not just because having a black friend doesn't let you do that, but because that's the only other guy who has Dog in his name. Like, him being like, no, I know Snoop Dogg. It's like, well, no, that's not your black friend. That's your other friend whose name has Dog. Like,
yeah, y'all have Dog solidarity.
Yeah.
You know, that's about it.
The New York Times did like a lengthy profile on him, I think this year, about like how he's coping after the death of his wife. He had a pulmonary embolism thanks to testosterone supplements. And refused to stay in the hospital. He literally pushed an orderly up against a wall to escape and was only convinced to get medical help after an intervention from Dr. Oz.
Oh.
So, like, the head professions on TV, like, the TV doctor and the TV bounty hunter are apparently, like, friends somewhere with, like, Judge Judy, probably, and...
Like, it's like only reinforcing like my childish idea of like how TV works. When I'm like, I bet Dog the Bounty Hunter. I think Dr. Oz is all the celebrities' doctors, right?
Yeah. Right.
But it seems like this is just him coming back and being like, I feel like I wasn't fully canceled before, and like it now would be a great time for me to just like formally get canceled.
Because he's also like, I thought I had the pass for the. He said, "quote I thought I had a pass in the Black Tribe to use it." Kind of like Eminem.
Eminem doesn't use it.
Eminem doesn't use the N-word, and I know he has, like, years ago, there was, like, a track, and a lot of people were like, well, what the fuck was that? But in his, like, professional career, that's not what Eminem does. So I don't know if, again, his idea is like, well, the white guy who raps, I bet he can say it.
Right.
No, not I don't think so, dog.
And if you think you have the pass because Black Tribe anything, you don't. No.
yeah. In the Black, I'm like, what is this? What?
He needs to chill out. Someone needs to sneak him some dirty Halloween candy.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
And if he doesn't, I feel like maybe the feds are going to go like Suicide Squad style and, you know, let the Tiger King out of jail to go catch Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
Right. It's a trap. They release the Tiger King to get Dog to draw in the Bounty Hunter.
Apparently, so I didn't realize that, like, his origin story, but back in 2003, this guy, Andrew Luster, who is the heir to the Max Factor cosmetic fortune, was arrested for drugging and raping three women and skipped out on his $1 million bail, was convicted in absentia and sentenced to 124 years in prison. And Dog was like, this is how I make my career. Went and like just like spent his whole like all the time he had hunting this guy down. But like the way he like brought the guy in was wildly illegal. Like bounty hunters are illegal in Mexico, and he went down to Mexico and just like grabbed him and like threw like kidnapped him essentially, and then immediately got arrested for that. Like it went like threw him in the back of an SUV, pulled out, and then the police pulled him over and were like, what the fuck are you doing, man? But of it, he still owes all sorts of fucking money for that. So that seems to be why he's trying to get elbow his way back into the national spotlight at this key moment when we're all super, you know, appreciative of cops who are racist and do things the, you know, via violence and toxicity. Like that's he's his moment is here, I guess, is what he's thinking.
Yeah, I don't know, again, he's almost $1 million in unpaid legal fees because of that.
Yeah,
that's so, wow, that's a fucking
from that first thing,
from his illegal jaunt down to Puerto Vallarta to be an illegal bounty hunter.
Right,
but then when he did it, he was like, hey, it was, if I got this guy in custody, it was worth me going to jail for a few days.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, but I mean, just in general, he is, you know, he profits from a predatory prison funnel system that disproportionately affects the poor and people of color. Again, like you said, uses the N-word freely and has repeatedly lobbied against bail reform, even recording a robocall warning people in California about a proposed bail reform bill.
I can't think of a less compelling robocall you get and starts off like, hey, it's Dog Dwayne Chapman, the bounty hunter. I'm like, yeah, shut the fuck. Okay. Like, if you're not selling dog food, I don't think I honestly would listen to you. Because I don't even respect you as a bail bondsman, bounty hunter.
He definitely learned from that first incident because he was like, well, I may not have succeeded in being like an actual bounty hunter, but if this was just for the cameras, it looked good. Like, yeah. And then that's the route he went down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll just keep that $1 million tab just hanging on the hook there, and I'll get to it eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. More on that later. Sean, such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
So you can get my comedy album at my website, seandevlin.website. And you can follow me on Instagram at Shawnee with a Y, S-C-A-N-Y, .Devlin, D-E-V-L-I-N.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
I don't have Twitter, so I don't have a handle to share, but the comedian Eddie Pepitone is basically the only reason I venture into Twitter, because he's so funny. And he tweeted something last week that I loved, which was, this was his tweet, and he has lots of stuff like this. We are surrounded by death from a plague, but we are also surrounded by great bargains. Home Depot. Home Depot has floorboards and tile machines with sound buttons, all on sale this week. So come on out and buy before you die. Home Depot, get your affairs in order.
That's fucking great.
Get your affairs in order. Eddie Pepitone is like nonstop tweeting out this amazing voiceover for the current moment.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Dystopian nightmare. Oh.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And also the other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé with Sophie Alexandra, where we talk about the great 90 Day Fiancé. A tweet I like is from Mark Snedeker, at Mark Snedeker. He did a quote tweet from CNN, where the CNN tweet says, U.S. government will run out of money by October 18th, Treasury Secretary says. And Mark replies, unless we can put on the best talent show this town has ever seen.
There you go. That's great.
I love when that was a solution to every problem.
It's always worked for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know. Let's see. Sam Salisbury tweeted, Shakespeare shit is so timeless because everybody's got that friend named Polonius that hides behind your tapestries. Push tweeted, every single night I slip into the alley behind my block and release two gunshots into the sky to keep the rent in my neighborhood stable. And this is one that will probably I just want somebody to answer this for me. Kiefler at Kiefler Elf tweeted, gonna be honest with you guys, I don't understand how the gas nozzle knows when to stop. How the fuck does it know? It's just like, yeah, hear like that thing too. Being like
but also, I never trust it because I'm a compulsive topper offer.
Oh, you really? You keep going?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, nah, we can. I'm like fucking Giles Corey in The Crucible is stacking more fucking stones on his chest. Like, more weight. I'm like, yo, get more gas in that tank.
If you don't see the gas spilling out, was there ever any gas?
Thank you, right. Sean.
There you go.
I do it till it gets on my shoes.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the gas like do the thing where it like kind of all comes out at once? Like it's like pfft, like it leaks out all at once. Like when you overfill the tank. I can't tell if I imagined this when I was a kid or if that's how cars used to like expel gas when they got overdone.
Wait, you have like a vivid memory of like a overfilled tank just like a orca's blowhole just being like
yeah, just like all over the place.
I mean, who knows? The way cars were built back then, I mean, like every year we're like adding safety measures. We're like, that wasn't there already?
Yeah. It seemed like the car's water broke and gas just like came out from under it. That might have just been the shitty car we had.
And then I went to live with my new family.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song are we sending people to go check out?
So we're going to go out on really like a guitarist that I'm really fucking digging. His name is Mansur Brown. He's from Brixton, you know, London. And he plays a lot with like Yusuf Days and, you know, that whole sort of new jazz scene out there from England that I'm just loving. And this track is called Mashita, M-A-S-H-I-T-A, because it seems like all of his albums have Japanese themes. He has an album called this is actually from the album called Shiroi, which means white in Japanese. And yeah, his guitar playing is just like so groovy, and his like the way he just picks those chords, you just love to hear it, and he's so effortless. If you like the music, I really suggest you check out him playing live, because he's just such a like expressive guitar player, and just a great way to go into your weekend, because it's a nice and easy track of just some nice soothing guitar. So this is Mansur Brown with Mashita.
Awesome. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. But we're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.